Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Welcome, friends. Great to have you with us. It is a Tuesday, as we're at the beginning of this week, where we're talking about the political issues of the day. The Oregon Democrats just think that you don't pay enough in property taxes. Because government's got to have more. So they want to, well, H.J.R. 13, this, by the way, an H.J.R. is a House joint resolution. It means the House and the Senate have to pass it. And it basically is a resolution that goes out to us, the people, later on for a vote to change Oregon's constitution. Because in Oregon, only the voters, only we the people can change our constitution. Thankfully! Can you imagine what the politicians would have done a long time ago? Anyway, this raises your property taxes by anywhere from 30 to 60%. That bill's going to be heard today. Now, Democrats are always telling you, the liberals are always telling you, including some liberal Republicans, that they care about you. They care so much about you that they want to raise your taxes over and over and over again. And then they want to restrict what you can do. It's like they want to raise your taxes on your rental property. And of course you can't evict somebody who's maybe been off work because of COVID. They haven't been paying you any money and you're behind and you're going to be foreclosed on, or maybe you've just been paying it out of your pocket. Now you're going to pay even more. They don't care. Because they have to feed the hand that feeds them. The government beast that pays them union dues. That go to all Democrats. See how that works? You know, Art talks about how the Democrats don't care about you. Folks, he's right. They don't. But they say they do. And nobody really holds them accountable. But people are getting tired of it. I think people are truly reaching their limit. Now, just look to our neighbor to the south. And you can see that they're reaching their limit. Because apparently they've turned in over 1.8 million signatures to recall Governor Gavin Newsom, who now is offering all kinds of goodies to get people to stop signing the petitions. Like your kids going back to school. Funny how that is. So, by the way, they have till March 17th to turn in 1.5 legitimate signatures. My guess is they hit 2 million signatures, and that means he's going to be on the ballot. Because the leftist Secretary of State in California is not going to be able to disqualify that many signatures. Oh, by the way, did you see that our leftist Secretary of State, Shamia Fagan, is signing on to the, what is that again? You'd think I would remember this since it was in my face when I was served in the legislature. The national popular vote. Yes, this does away with the Electoral College. Yes. They still want to do away with it. Anyway, so people are fed up. Now, if you're fed up, if you don't want your property taxes raised, you need to contact your state representative or your senator. Now, if you don't even know who that is, that's okay. Don't feel bad. You're probably busy just trying to live your life and get by. Because the Democrats are constantly raising your taxes and your fees and your pass-through taxes from Oregon's sales tax, yes, the sales tax on corporations that get passed through to you. And you're paying it. Your cost of living keeps going up. And now they want to raise your taxes even higher. But they tell you that they care about you. They care about your kids in school. Yes, they do. They care about your senior citizens. Yes, they do. While they're making it impossible for your kids to go to school, almost. While they're making it impossible for you to live as a senior citizen, or heck, even as a working adult. They care about the working poor while they raise taxes on everything that the working poor consumes. Like groceries, like cigarettes, like alcohol. That 3,000% alcohol tax increase we talked about yesterday. Who do you suppose is going to pay for that? You are, assuming you consume it. Maybe a great reason to give up drinking. Anyway, so you can just go to the Oregon Legislature's website, and it's really easy, and there's a little tab there that says find your senator or find your representative, and you can just click on it, and you can find out who that is. So the Democrats want to raise your property taxes, and then they want to make it easier for, well, Tina Kotek's bill, House Bill 3164, that makes it easier for protesters to disobey police officers during a riot. Now, the idea stems from Tina Kotek's legislative director, who got arrested on the 100th night, consecutive night, of violent protests and riots. She got arrested last September. Now, the author of this is in the Oregon Catalyst, witnessed all of this stuff on that night, witnessed 1,000 protesters within minutes of gathering at Ventura Park. They marched to a small neighborhood police station that had been previously taxed and hit with arson just days prior. This crowd was so violent and dangerous that within a matter of minutes of the march beginning, people began to throw Molotov cocktails at police. In fact, one of these people, and there's a video of it, set himself afire. And two cops had to go in and rescue the person, put out the flames with fire extinguishers. The author of this article said, I saw firsthand people pick up large stones to throw at cops. Stones big enough to send you into a coma if it hit your head. And he said, all this stated was all within the first 10 minutes of a peaceful protest. Mostly peaceful. And then it goes on to describe, for hours this goes on. The cops were trying to clear the area. Now, a protester picked up a tear gas canister and threw it back, except it hit another protester in the face. People were screaming for medical help. An ambulance couldn't get there until the cops cleared the area around the injured protester, injured by a fellow protester, or rioter, I should say. So here's the point. When police are asking people to leave a riot area, which happened during the time Tina Kotek's legislative director was arrested because she wasn't leaving, they were doing so to save people's lives from injury or death. Tina Kotek's bill makes it harder for the police to do just that. Now, what the author is not telling you is that this group, which made their way at Ventura Park, had to march through suburban neighborhoods to do this. As we've seen in many places, including in Portland, suburban neighborhoods got kind of damaged a little by some of these mostly peaceful protesters. How would you feel if it was you? Think about it. We talk about how we persuade the persuadable. That's a question you could ask somebody. How would you feel if it was your neighborhood, your home, the protesters who were all wound up and were about to create acts of violence? How would you feel if the cops were restricted by a new law that said they couldn't keep your home safe from those mostly peaceful protesters? How would you feel? We're going to go to the phones in a moment, 503-589-1220. Kathy and Rich, hang on. Lee writes an email. By the way, you want to send me emails, it's to jeff at 1220.am or jeff at kslm.news. He says, I care. So, listening to you this morning with my coffee, it occurred to me that maybe, just maybe, we should consider their feelings and oblige. They want to raise taxes. Oblige. It's a verb. Make someone legally or morally bound to an action or course of action. It's kind of simple. If a person is a Democrat and they pay more taxes, that's fair and honest. And we're giving them what they want. So are you saying, Lee, that maybe we should only pass these tax increases on the people who want them, like the Democrats? Yeah, that probably ain't going to happen. Let's go to Kathy. Kathy, good morning. How are you? Welcome.
So I'm starting to think about the future now, because Democrats can do a lot of damage in 2 years. And so I'm thinking that we ought to start the campaigning now. Any truly conservative person that is out there and thinking about running to replace what we've got in Salem now, they need to start doing it and speaking out, holding their feet to the fire, just like what's going on in California with their governor.
Well, yeah. And you know where it starts? It starts as a recall effort. I mean, seriously, when some of these bills are getting passed early in the session by Democrats, recall efforts need to start at the local level. You know, whether they are well-funded or not is completely irrelevant. It's the message that you put out there as to why it's necessary to recall a senator or a representative, because they are not representing you, because they're doing things that hurt you. And all you have to do is say that to people and give them an example, and people will sign the recall. More importantly, you put a press release out there, you get your local news media, and believe me, the politicians straighten up and fly right in a hurry.
Yeah,
because they realize they just might anger a lot of people. And what's happening down in California, Kathy, I'm telling you, it's going to be powerful. It will send shivers down the Democrat spine in Oregon.
I was just so disappointed in the result of our recall effort last time that, I mean, I'm not saying it's not good. I'm just, we've just got to keep these people's feet to the fire, or they're just going to keep it up.
You're right. And that's why we have to constantly stay after them publicly. We have to call their offices. We have to email them. And whenever they open up that Capitol building, we got to go in there and stop by and nicely have conversation. Thank you, Kathy. Back in a moment with Rich and Rebecca. 720. Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp. 22 minutes past 7 o'clock. Hey, hang on to those six Dr. Seuss books you might have in your library you gave your kids, because they'll no longer be published. Why? Because they're racist. They'll become quite the collector's items, don't you think? Roxanne writes me an email. It says, Ventura Park. She said, I just heard you say Ventura Park. That reminded me to thank the Lord again that we moved to Drake's Crossing almost 30 years ago from Portland, where we lived about four blocks from Ventura Park, which at the time was a very nice park and neighborhood. I would much rather put up with the fire and ice living out in Drake's Crossing than Antifa acting out their human nature with no restraint. Well said. Very well said. We'll go back to the phones. 503-589-1220. Got Rich, Rebecca, and Jerry all lined up. We start with Rich. Rich.
Bother you again, but two things. One, a few years ago when I started working as a volunteer at Oregon Citizens Lobby, I was watching the legislature up there in the peanut gallery, and a Democrat lady from Portland said, well, we just need to raise property taxes by 25%. And the whole room kind of stared at her, and a gentleman, I think it was a gentleman, stood up and said, well, where are the people going to get the money for this? And her answer was, I don't care.
Who said that?
One of the Democrat politicians, a lady out of Portland. This was about 4 or 5 years ago. She's, when they're talking about the budget, she stood up and said, well, we just need to raise taxes by 25%. And one of the Republicans asked her, well, where are the people going to get that money? And she says, I don't care. That's the attitude of the Democrat Socialist Party you're dealing with.
Yep. I would love to know who that was, and I'd love to have the video of that.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, I'd love to be able to deep fake it. Just kidding.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is that when you're talking about people protesting, once they start to do anything, it is no longer a protest. Once they start damaging anything, it is a riot, and they should be treated as such. And the only reason that they're worrying about this lady or person that works for Kotek is she's probably doing a lot more than just standing by and staring at the wall, and she should be fired for that.
Probably so, but that ain't going to happen. You
understand.
But you're right. Well said. Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it. Let's go to Rebecca. Rebecca, good morning. What do you have to say today?
I was remembering when Obama was newly in office, and the Honduras country had a person who was working with him, who was a dictator type, and the Honduran people used their constitution to have the Supreme Court of Honduras and the military drove him out and escorted him to the edge of Honduras. And Obama was furious, but there was nothing to do because their constitution gave them the right to do that. And I read a while back that one of the people
Rebecca, you're going to have to hang up and find a better place because we're just catching about every other word. It's really bad today.
Sorry.
So try to find a better place and call us back after the bottom of the hour. Let me move to Jerry. Jerry, good morning. What do you say today?
Good morning, Jeff. Hope you can hear me okay.
Yes.
Okay. So I think, you know, it's interesting to me that the kind of cognitive dissonance that we all kind of suffer here, we really need to take a look at the realities around us and what we're really up against. You look around and there is absolutely zero accountability on the other side and getting away with literally criminal activity by allowing these groups to continue to do what they're doing all over Portland, destroying the city. And to realize that throughout this pandemic, as we on this side of the quotient of the argument, suffer businesses out of business, people with losses of income and everything, while government workers, government employees, teachers unions, teachers, all of the things arrayed on the side that vote this direction, continue to get paid, continue to get the largesse, and we've really got to kind of realize here that I don't know how much of politics, more politics I can get involved in, do or handle, realizing after so many years of dealing with this that here we are and nothing changes and it's wrong. And I don't know.
Sound like you're discouraged.
I'm very discouraged at this point. I mean, I put a lot of life.
Is it because you feel that you have not been personally effective, or you feel like everything that everybody's been trying to do to fight this insanity just isn't working?
Absolutely. I ran for U.S. Congress. I did a lot of things involved with politics going way, way back. I was the administrative aide to a U.S. congressman in college. And I've been fighting this thing all the way through, and now the pandemic and all of this has really exposed, I think, for a lot of people, the realities of what we are facing. And what to do about it, I wish I had an answer. And
well, you're right. It has exposed the realities, and I hope and pray that people are waking up. I will say this, Jerry, and I'm going to let you go. I appreciate your your calling. I want you to have some hope, because every time in America's history where we've been in circumstances like this, where people have really felt like their backs were against the wall, including in Oregon, the people have stepped forward and we've made political changes. Now, the question is, in our current culture and society, is that possible? And the reason I say it's, is that possible when you have censorship in our mediums of communication, at least the major ones? How can anybody get their real opinion out there so that you can create the fomentations for change? I don't know. And it is... We have to keep trying. You can never stop, yeah. And we're never going to give up, folks. Because
freedom. Don't get me wrong.
That's right. Freedom
is just very discouraging.
It is our inalienable right, and we have to stand, folks. We cannot step back or shrink back or give up. Jerry, thank you. Back in a moment.
Thank you.
By the way, Stacey Ann is going to be live today. It's her one-year anniversary. She's going to be recapping CPAC and taking calls. Coming up at 8 o'clock, 7:30, don't go away.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Stop the car. 24 minutes to the top of the hour. Yes, indeed. Stacey Ann is back live from CPAC. She'll recap that. It's the one-year anniversary show for her. So make sure you hang with us at the top of the hour here when Stacey Ann with Good Morning Salem is on. We are going to go back to the phones here in a moment. By the way, I find it interesting that the Supreme Court yesterday threw out both of Sidney Powell's challenges. The U.S. Supreme Court did. But they agreed to hear an Arizona case that could put new limits on voting rights lawsuits. Now, this comes out of a Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal case where the Ninth Circuit decided that an Arizona 2016 Arizona law that put restrictions on ballot collecting and other policies. It was sued because they say, of course, that it penalizes voters, right? Now, the leftist Brennan Center said that if the Supreme Court agrees with, now they're going to hear this case, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, that it's going to make it harder to protect voters against racial discrimination. This is always what they use, isn't it? Yesterday in Georgia, the House there passed a absentee voter voter ID requirement. If you're going to vote by absentee, not regular voters, just vote with absentee balloting, you have got to show ID. And the leftists came out and attacked. That was an insurrection at the state capitol. There's videos of it. You hear that in the mainstream media anywhere? Nope. And they yelled racism, racism, racism. At what point does the racism charge or racist charge lose its complete and total impact? Now that math is racist, now they want to raise your property taxes, 30 to 60% the Democrats in Oregon do with H.R. 13, which is going to be heard today. Is the math that calculates that racist too? At some point, everything becomes racist. At what point does that become so rejected that the other side stops using it? Is that even possible? I wonder. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. I want to thank Freedom Heating and Air for being another one of our great sponsors. You know, the sun's going to be out today. Thank goodness. I'm going to be out in it getting some vitamin D, and I hope you are too if you can be. But, you know, if the old air conditioning decides to come on and it doesn't want to work right, maybe you ought to call Freedom Heating and Air. Check them out on the web, freedomheatingandair.net. They can come and take care of you quickly. freedomheatingandair.net. To the phones, we got Ron. Rebecca's back, and then we'll get to Glenn. Ron, good morning.
Man, I want to address three things. Number one, the Dr. Seuss situation, the center that he set up years ago, you know who has the biggest influence on that right now? The National Education Association.
They're the teachers' union.
Ralph Neese, going back to the Clarence Thomas days, had his dirty hands in that mess. Number two, what the Democrats is realizing, you know something? I'll use an example when the property taxes went up in 2014, 2015, is that, especially in Linn County, that you're making a payment, say you've got a $900 a month payment, house payment for a 1,100 square foot house. Well, you also, by your commitment, you also got to pay the property taxes. So if your property taxes is right now, like on my friends, which is right around $3,000 a year, on a $230,000 home, this is in Albany, South Albany, that means that house in a few years will be up $4,500. That means it will add another $150 a month to that property payment. And the last thing I want to address is this race crap that they're throwing around. I'm sick of it. I'm insulted. I had somebody who was in town here in Salem. I was having, you know, entertainment in the bar, having a cocktail peacefully. And the guy came up and says, you know, and he starts talking about this, that, and other, about, oh, you must be a Trump supporter, this, that, and other. The first thing people, if you want to go through, first thing I ask him, I says, you know, do you know your history? Do you know that every atrocity happened to Irish, Native Americans, blacks, Jews in this country, between going back to the Skokie days in Illinois, was done by Democrats since 1812? I says, number three, I says, if you believe in your ideology that Pelosi's so good, Democrats so good, won't you pay me $2,000 a month out of your salary or your assets and pay me? I don't need the money. It's the principle that you said the Democrat Party or this ideology of socialism, Marxism, is so great. As an American who is of color, it's an insult to me. But do you know
it is, and that's why we need more Americans who are of color and minorities to stand up and to say what you say, truly. And I'm glad that you're there, Ron, because you give voice to other African-American patriots and minorities to stand up. And I'm glad you do, and I'm glad you're public about it, Invisible. Thanks, brother. I appreciate it. Got to let you go because I need you to go back to Rebecca. Brother. Rebecca, mm-hmm. Are you at a better place where I can hear you now?
I certainly hope so. I'm using a different phone.
Yes, that's better. That's
so
better.
I'm calling because I was remembering what happened when Obama was first in office, and he was coordinating with a dictator type in Honduras. and the dictator type was ousted from Honduras by the military at the command of the Supreme Court. And the reason they were able to do that is because they had had so many dictators rise up, and their constitutions had been totally inadequate. And so they had finally written a constitution that provided an avenue for ousting dictators. And so what the Supreme Court of Honduras did was authorize the military to escort the dictator to the border of Honduras. And Obama was furious. I don't know if you remember this, but he could do nothing about it because it was a totally legal action under their constitution. I believe he did cut aid to them. But anyway, what that encouraged me was that Honduras had survived various uprisings and had finally written a constitution that had enough teeth in it to prevent the type of people like Governor Brown is from treading on the people and eating out their substance. And they had authorized a method by which to oust that kind of a person, which I believe that when we were trying to oust Governor Brown, there were several problems. One was that she kept throwing rules at us that we had to try to comply with that foiled a lot of our efforts. And also, if we would have gotten it on the ballot, which we came very close to doing, she wouldn't have just been out and we win. It would have been a replacement by somebody else who would have been equally as bad as her.
Well, at that time, yes. Bev Clarno would have been next in line, but I mean, she would have been better than Kate Brown any day. Now, of course, if you recall Kate Brown, you get somebody that's worse than her. You get Shamia Fagan, who is worse than Kate Brown, without question. Thank you, Rebecca. I appreciate your point. That's an interesting thing. We have opportunities to literally oust the politicians who refuse to serve us. So if any of these politicians who vote for these property tax increases, who vote to make you less safe because they want to let the dangerous, violent criminals out of jail early, or let violent rioters just have their way because the cops are limited to what they can do to arrest them to keep you safe, well, you know, you can recall them. You can start a recall level, a petition, rather, at the local level. You can. And it sends a big, strong message. Let's go to Glenn. Glenn, good morning. How are you?
Jeff, I did some comparison. A lot of people are talking about how to oust locally in Oregon. Not to oust necessarily the governor, because we've tried. But where are we missing it is what I was asking myself. So I was in Portland on Monday or Sunday. I was talking to a friend at the soccer shop, not too far from Timbers. I've known him for years. And he's kind of selling everything and saying, I don't know what to do, stay or go. The Timbers, I thought, are the Timbers going to play? He said, I don't know. Are they using the Moda Center? He said, I don't know. I went to another shop where I used to shop, and the lady said there, I said to her, I don't come here very much anymore. Can you hold me over?
Hey, Glenn, hang on. I'll take you on the other side of the break.
Yeah.
Folks, we'll be back in a moment. One more. Oh, here's news. The Supreme Court overturned the church ban by California fascist Governor Gavin Newsom. Oh, that's good. Back in a moment.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 10 minutes till 8 o'clock. Stacey Ann's up next. Good morning, Salem. Her one-year anniversary show, and she'll be recapping CPAC and, of course, taking phone calls from you. Before I get back to Glenn, I also want to thank Eric Azer, Righteous Renovations, for, you know, being one of the great sponsors of this radio station and this show. You know, having a good contractor is, man, it's worth everything. If you've ever had one of those nightmare contractor experiences, you never forget it. In fact, I've not had one of those, but I have friends who have, and it makes me very careful. Well, you can have great confidence in Eric Azer because he lives his personal faith in how he treats you as his customer. Go to RighteousRenovations.com. Check it out. You can see the great satisfied customer comments and also the great before and after pictures of some of the work they've done in remodeling kitchens, bathrooms, and other places. RighteousRenovations.com. Friday, John Roberts finally did something right. U.S. Supreme Court ruled 6-3 that Santa Clarita County, California, cannot forbid churches in the Silicon Valley from holding in-person worship services. It's about time. It's about time John Roberts did something right. Let's go back to Glenn, and then we have another caller. Glenn, good morning. Complete your thought, please.
Yeah, Jeff, that's a crack in the wall, isn't it? That's a huge crack in the wall for the West Coast.
It is. Yeah.
But what I was trying to get to, talking to these people that I used to deal with in Multnomah County, you guys need to get together, and I know the state, the capital is too far from you guys. Tell them the guy at the shop. If you guys got signs and you marched around two of the main theme areas of Port, Multnomah County, the Timbers Building, the Timbers Arena, and the Motor Center, and if you carried signs, government shutdown, we don't get paid, you don't get paid. If all you people that are so furious here in Multnomah County, both below in the major part of the city, below which now is being affected by Antifa, in the Pearl District, north of the main boulevard, in the city center, which has been so damaged. If all of you people in sports, restaurants, all the businesses that have been shut down, marched around those buildings by the tens of thousands in one day, they would get the message. They really would. Because here, as you know, when we marched at the state capitol, most of the churches did not show up. Let's face it. Honestly.
That's right. That's right. And they should be. It ought to be churches. Yeah, we ought to be doing Jericho marches every day around that state capitol. Seriously.
It's true. If we don't get paid, you don't get paid. If we started a program, not only our county, which really it seems like the governor is going right after you and some of your friends to lock them down, what, 60 more days? I think it's a personal attack against you and some of the people that are following you personally in our counties. Your county is affected and so is ours. You know, what I'm saying
is
we're not hitting the target, especially in Multnomah County where the governor has all of her backers. If they hit that area by the tens of thousands, they're fed up. I mean, they're fed up. I talk to them. They just don't know what to do. But what I'm recommending to him is somebody starts it, and if it goes, it'll go so wild, they will not have enough street to put them all on. But in comparison, what's happening at the Capitol building, and if we target it in our more greater area, Multnomah County, they would not be able to stand with their state and county lockdowns. They wouldn't.
Well, you're right, they wouldn't.
And the only way
they
would feel
the pressure to adjust their policy is for us to do exactly that you're suggesting. So let me ask you this. You've laid out the problem. churches are not being involved in standing up for not just their rights, but everybody else's rights and what's right in God's law. They're not standing up for it because they're not being politically active. How do we motivate them to do that?
But the churches are losing, as well as the businesses, not only the everybody in the Multnomah County is so based on money from those major stadiums.
And you're and laying the out the problem. Now lay out a solution, Glenn. What's the answer?
The solution is to get the signs right and hit the target. If we did something in Salem and they did something in Multnomah County, like the Timber Stadium and Moda Center, all the businesses affected, the restaurants, the places where they go get a beer, all of the small shops that surround those areas that have lost millions, hundreds of thousands of jobs. If we hit them all on the same day, in both areas of our state, and we wrote the right signs, you've locked us down, you don't get paid, because we don't get paid, by the tens of thousands, and they are ready to go. Multnomah is fed up. I mean, I talk to everybody. They are so fed up. They just need to know how to do it and when to do it. And the churches may sit on their hands, but there's way too many people beyond the churches that have lost their jobs in Multnomah County.
So somebody needs to take the lead. Who is it?
I was going to talk to him again because he was so fed up and find out if he knew somebody that would take the lead in Multnomah County. Because he needs to be someone up in
Multnomah County who has some visibility, who can get some press, who is known. That's who it needs to be.
That is correct. I'm going to try to talk to him again because he's practically crying because he's losing his business and he's hanging on by a thread, like everybody else. And they haven't hit back. They have not hit back at all. But if they targeted those two major buildings with the right signs, they would come out of those buildings by the thousands. They really would.
You're probably right. Hey, Glenn, thank you. I appreciate it. We're going to conclude the show today. You know, what Glenn is saying is so true. Because if our politicians are not going to pay attention to us, let's get their attention so that it's absolutely inescapable. You see, what Timber Unity did around the Capitol, not once, not twice, but three times, shutting the place down with air horns and trucks and tractors and everything else, is the same thing Glenn's talking about doing in mass numbers in Portland. Can you imagine what would happen to the politicians of Portland, the politicians from Portland that run the Oregon legislature? Can you imagine what would happen if that happened in Portland? And if people are as fed up as Glenn says they are, and I think it's very possible that they are. And the reason I say that is we've done some polling. Again, I'm not going to get into it, but I'm telling you, there's polling that absolutely backs up what Glenn just said. It's up to us, folks. You need to keep praying, and then you need to be active. Believe me, you can make a difference in your world. Stacey ends up next with Good Morning Salem. Hang around. It's her one-year anniversary show. Friends, we'll see you tomorrow. Be blessed.